Our lesson this morning is out of Proverbs chapter 10, 25 to 32, contrasting wise, righteous living with foolish, wicked living. Solomon's actual proverbs hop from one subject to another, likely to force readers to grapple with and meditate on the thoughts of one verse before moving on to the next. We then focus on each one to draw out its deeper insight that Proverbs chapter 1, 5 to 6 implies exists. This is the first time I've gone through Proverbs this particular way. Normally, the tendency is to try to group together Proverbs of same or similar subjects, put them all in one unit. But apparently, these Proverbs were aligned this way in what appears to us to be a haphazard manner in order that we would focus on each one. So that's why we're taking the order that they've been presented to us in Scripture. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer before we get into His Word this morning. Father, we thank you for your love, for your grace, and for the privilege that we have of gathering together around the Word of God. We ask for wisdom to understand the text, wisdom to apply it, and power to be successful in applying these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'll read the Proverbs and then we'll look at them. Proverbs chapter 10, beginning at verse 25. As the whirlwind passes, so is the wicked, who is no more. But the righteous is an everlasting foundation. As vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked shall be cut shortened. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The righteous will never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. The mouth of the just brings forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speak frowardness. Okay, of course, some of these words we have to retranslate as we're looking at them from the Hebrew text. Proverbs chapter 10, 25 asserts that when the tempest of the storm passes, the wicked exists no more, but that the righteous is established forever, especially looking at the English Standard Version. Trials are a part of this life. It's interesting that Job 5:7 says that as the sparks fly upward, man is born to trouble. In other words, just as sure as if you take a hammer and you hit an anvil and there's a spark, the spark goes up towards your face rather than away. So trouble is something that is basically par for the course for living in this life. Well, since trials are a part of this life, being wicked leaves one vulnerable to destruction when, not if, life's trials arise. Where the righteous is established forever. So to ensure against being destroyed by life's trials, one needs to be righteous. Namely, he needs to heed Scripture. In fact, 1 John 3:4 talks about this is how we know that if we're doing that which is right, whether we're obeying the commandments of God or not. I remember as a child, I went to a church, and that church at the time took stands against alcoholism, took stands against smoking and so forth. This is before there was any public knowledge of the effects of heavy drinking and smoking on heart disease, that type of problem, emphysema and whatnot. They took stands against it because the pastors at the time knew that smoking was addictive because of the nicotine. Alcohol could be addictive, and so they took stands against these things, especially cigarettes because and tobacco and so forth, because it left an odor, and it was something that carried around with it. There was ash and so forth. But mainly, not because of health reasons, but they took these stands for biblical reasons because they knew that these things were addictive. And when news came out that lung cancer, other types of cancer, emphysema, and so forth were the result of smoking especially, and that there were a lot of problems because of drinking, then it was the Christians who had taken stands against this all along who were actually living healthier lives. I'm very glad that the Lord allowed me to be raised in a church that actually took a stand at the time against alcohol because I didn't know that I was born with a genetic condition called hemochromatosis. That's the type of condition. If you drink alcoholic beverages, it causes the food to break down even more than just your what your normal digestive tract will break it down, and it breaks the iron out so that your body can absorb more iron. And when I went to see the hematologist, and they did the test and found out I had this genetic disorder, he asked me, "Do you drink?" I said, "Well, no, I'm a teetotaler." And he thought that was a very good idea, because who knows what would have happened if I had been a regular participant, you know, just gotten involved in social drinking all along. It could have been much more destructive, and I might have liver cancer now or something like that. So it's amazing how many ways, if a person is right in doing that which is right, and this doesn't just apply to smoking and drinking types of things, and I'm not saying drinking any alcoholic beverages is wrong for people. I know Christians all the time that partake in a controlled measure. Certainly alcoholism, where a person is controlled by it, is wrong. And there are people who cook with different types of wines and so forth. I understand that the alcohol is cooked off, whatnot. But there are other practices that people can get into, business practices, practices in conduct and so forth, that if you get involved with these and these things are wrong, they can come back to bite you in a really rough way. Whereas if you're doing that which is right all the time, you have nothing to fear. I always get amazed. I know Christians who they put a radar scanner up on their cars, and so if a police officer is up front, the thing starts beeping, then they start slowing down. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, all you have to do is drive the speed limit. You don't have to invest in an expensive scanner. Drive the speed limit all the time. You have nothing to fear about. They can clock you. They can put the radar gun on you. You're going the speed limit. What are they going to do? So righteousness really helps and protects against trials. Then Proverbs 10:26 claims that like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes is a sluggard to those who send him. Vinegar irritates the teeth and smoke irritates the eyes, so a slothful messenger to one who sends him makes him an irritant to the sender. We must begin to address the tasks we have offered or agreed to do for our employer, our associates, or our family members to perform them for them sooner rather than later if we wish to preserve good relationships and avoid making ourselves obnoxious to them. In other words, we need to look like we're on the ball and get with it. One of the men in our church, Mike DeWilliger, works on a job, and he's been instructed by his immediate supervisor. He says, even if we don't have work for you, do something. Clean your tractor. Clean the mud off the wheels of your tractor. Do anything. Make sure you're busy. Because if you just sit around with your arms folded, it doesn't look good, doesn't make me look good. So that's what he does. You know, if there is a time, I think right now they have him working pretty hard, but for a while, early on, the job was easier. And so he did. He just spent his time dusting his tractor if he could, you know, just to make sure you're looking busy. And it never hurts to keep the thing clean as well. I've always been amazed at how many times, and we have a number of men in our church who are employers, they say it makes a tremendous impression when the employee is busy or when you tell him to do something, he's on it right away. He may not be the fastest worker, but he's conscientious. He gets the job done. He addresses it. He doesn't wait and say, well, I can do that in 15 minutes, so I think I'll wait for three quarters of an hour. No, they get on it right away. Same with family members. So we can improve or hurt our relationships by getting on something right away rather than later. Many, many times there's a job that needs to be done around the house and the husband drags his feet. And he might drag them for months and irritate his wife no end when she really needs to get the thing done. It's so much better just to address it right away, get it out of the way, and then it saves the relationships. Proverbs 10:27 teaches that the fear of the Lord adds days, that's the Hebrew word yamim, but the years, shenot, of the wicked are cut short. Reverence for God adds length of life, but huge chunks of time, namely years, not just days, are cut from the lifespan of those who are wicked. Merely considering the effects of substance abuse, poor diet, and wild living by the wicked reveals this proverb to be very, very true. Sebring, Florida, there's a home for retired missionaries, SIM missionaries, the mission my parents were with, who for some reason they don't have the access or don't have the funds to take care of their own housing in retirement, so they go and live in this special place. And one thing they have found very unique, a lot of these missionaries who lived under very strenuous situations in the tropics, or had to give childbirth. In fact, one of the medical doctors out there felt that when American missionaries, Canadian missionaries, so forth, British missionaries, give birth in the field because of the heat, it actually takes years off of a woman's life to do that. But a strange thing, so many of these people are living up into their 80s, and they thought they would be gone maybe in their late 60s or 70s. But they're living very, very long lives. Well, they have happened to have been righteous people, and the Lord keeps them around because a lot of times they have nothing to do, so they pray. They pray all day long. Well, the Lord likes to have his prayer warriors around, so they pray. It's something like the Lady Anna in the temple when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus in to be to give the offering for him when he was a baby. There was this elderly woman by the name of Anna. She was in her 80s, which was way above the lifespan. Often they would die in their late 60s or early 70s, but here she was well in her 80s, and she was still in good health. And she was worshiping and serving the Lord, the Bible says, serving the Lord night and day with prayer and fasting. She was just a real dynamo for the Lord in her 80s. Very unusual for that particular time. So you can really see this. And yet, I have classmates that I knew when I was going to high school. They got heavily involved in alcohol and drugs smoking and so forth. And some of them have already died. Heart disease, different types of issues, because our health has been broken. So we need to keep in mind that righteousness really does affect even our longevity. Proverbs 10:28 uses a play on two Hebrew words translated hope, but they have different shades of meaning. The proverb holds that the hope of the righteous, and the word hope here at Tohelet means hope of what might possibly occur, but not as expected to occur. The hope of that the righteous have is joy, but the things that the wicked hope for, and the word hope there is tikvah, which means what you expect to gain, will perish. So God gives the upright what he might merely dream to acquire, while what good the wicked expects or presumes is going to come his way is actually totally destroyed. I knew a fellow in high school who saw one of his teammates win a special trophy when he was, I think, in his junior year. And this fellow thought, man, I'd love to be able to win a trophy myself. Well, he kept living for the Lord, and the next year he won three. So the Lord, you know, encouraged him through this process and gave him what he was just hoping he might possibly get, not what he was expecting to get. So it really pays to be righteous. Then Proverbs 10:29 claims that the way of the Lord is a stronghold or a refuge. Both the NIV and the ESV put it this way. To those who have mental integrity, but it is a terrorizing ruin, mehita. To those who practice, and the word practice is pa'al, what is vain or unprofitable. Vain is often translated the word iniquity or idolatry, but it means what is vain and unprofitable. So when a party applies God's way of living as to his very thought life, it affects his actions, which in turn supply protection from destructive foes. Strongholds protect against invaders. But those who think and thus practice vain, unprofitable things leave themselves open to eventual terrorizing ruin from their enemies. I'll never forget when I was in Dallas, Texas, I was working in the truck docks. Dower Shippers Association. I'd get up in the middle of the night, about 3:30 in the morning, and I'd work until 7:30, and then I had to be in class by 8 or 8:30, I forget what it was. So I have to rush home, eat a little bit of breakfast, and take a shower and dress and get into my first class and try and stay awake through the first class because I was working in the night like this. It was a rough group of workers that I was working with. Most of them were full-time workers. I'll never forget one day the pimp came around, and he was basically the main drug dealer, and he also had prostitutes that he worked with and so forth. And he started leaning on the various guys, warning them that he was going to tell their wives on them if they didn't give his girls more business. And I remember standing there absolutely shocked. And these guys that I was working with, full-time workers, they broke out into a cold sweat because if their wives found out, that would end up in divorce and destruction and everything else. And I remember thinking, wow, sin gets you into a whole lot of trouble. If you just stay righteous with the Lord, there's no pimp that has anything on you. He didn't even bother talking to me. I was known as the Rev because I was training for my education and so forth. There was nothing there. So I remember feeling very sorry for these fellow workers. They didn't know Christ as their Savior. They were working, and yet they were in tremendous trouble. And it's amazing how just basic righteousness can save a person from a whole lot of trouble, where sin can put a person into a situation of tremendous destruction. So God's way of living is a way that protects. And it starts with our thought lives, and then it goes out into our actions. The Bible says in another proverb, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You become what you think. What you think shows up in its actions, in your actions. So we have to be very careful how we think. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 30, claims that the righteous will never be shaken. The word mot means shaken. But the wicked will not even be able to settle down to dwell, yishkenu, in the land. Righteousness brings one under divine protection so that he enjoys much more stability in his life, where sin leaves one exposed to God's discipline that prevents all such stability. Boy, isn't that the case. Proverbs 10:31 claims that the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, where the tongue of the perverse, that's tapuchot, will be cut out. And if the tongue is cut out, it's cut out in judgment. But that's one of the judgments that would be put on people in the ancient Near East. Very cruel, but nevertheless, it was something that occurred. Righteousness and sin affect our speech in very contrasting ways. And that, in turn, greatly contrasts the reactions that other people have to us. Words have a lot of impact. They have a lot of power with people. And I know the old phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. That's just not true. Words sometimes do a lot more damage even than sticks and stones, for that matter. So we have to be very careful. Righteousness will affect what we speak. And if we speak words of wisdom, words that edify, words of goodwill and encouragement that build up other people, it has a tremendous positive impact on our relationships. If we tear down, if we cut, if we slander and so forth, that has a tremendous destruction in regards to our relationships with other people. Proverbs 10:32 asserts that the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable or of goodwill, the Hebrew word rason, but that the mouth of the wicked knows only what is perverse or twisted, the same word perverse that appears in Proverbs 10:31. So righteousness not only leads one to bring forth wisdom in his speech that keeps him from making others retaliate in hatred against him, that's what verse 31 would be, but also it guides him to say what is acceptable and thus produces goodwill with others, in vast contrast to the experience of those who are wicked, and that's verse 32. So we need to be upright, since it greatly affects our speech for the better, leading to massive blessings in our relationships with other people. So, lesson application is, may we align to God's fixed moral order in each of these realms for blessing. I had an interesting event occur this past week as I was studying. It shows you the power of words. I had a person in our church called me when I was working in the office, almost apologetic for taking up my time. They had a question they were involved in a Bible study. They brought the question up, and I tried to assure this person, no, please feel free to call me. I view it very much part of my job, not only studying the office, but even when I'm there in that setting, if there's someone who has a question or needs some help in regards to studying Scripture or the Lord's growth in their life, as far as I'm concerned, that's the other part of my job. Part of it's studying Scripture. The other part is seeing that it's applied in the lives of people. So if people are really trying to grow in their walk with the Lord, it's my hope that they feel free to call. So I don't think it took more than a minute or so. And then I continued back with my ministry. And then this person called again, and once again they were apologetic for interrupting my study. And I tried to assure this person, I'm glad that you feel free to call, and I hope you continually call. What the party did not know was that at that time on that day, I was going through a real struggle in my mind, There must have been a spiritual warfare that was going on. It was phenomenal. And the interaction I had with the party where I was put in the position of answering questions or giving direction, that interaction itself actually worked to counter that spiritual battle that I was having. And that person never knew it. And I wasn't in a condition to convey it. So the words that we have a tremendous impact, and we never know when we're giving those words and when we're talking with an individual what that person is going through at that time. I'm always amazed. I get out here in the fellowship hall after we have the worship service, after we have the Sunday school, and I get to talking with people, and they share with me that when we were talking about something in Sunday school or we were giving something from the pulpit, They share with me what had been going on in their life that week, or what had they been concerned about, or what they came to the church with a worry or a great fear, and how that passage actually addressed it. A couple of weeks ago, we had a woman here who saw me in the back room. She said, when you said one of the periods of time that we had where we had a discussion, the give it and take that we have in the adult Sunday school class, she said, you said something just as a byline, and it was very, very important, but there was no way that I was going to respond in public. And she shared with me in private what the issue was, and I could understand she would never dare to bring the subject up in the class here. But it had tremendous impact with her. And so I just stand back there sometimes amazed, realizing that the Lord is a lot more involved in our Sunday school and in the morning worship service than what we can imagine. And I'm sure that when we have conversations between one another out there, there's a lot that's going on. Words are so important. So we need to be careful to make sure that we're following the Lord in our lives, and as we are conversing with one another, that we're conversing in a way that is genuinely edifying and not hurting. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback that you have. It could be on one of the subjects that we covered here, or if there's something else that has come up during the week, or you have a theological question on something else, feel free to interact, and we'll take it from there.